Hi, Opa. yeah, so I'm going to be talking about living a life-filled existence in turbulent, troubled circumstances. So the word life is mentioned 450 times in the King James Bible. And for me, life has always been more than just breathing. I think life is also to have life. It's to be filled with life and spirit and passion and joy and hope, and ultimately just to be consumed by life. And when Jesus delivered the ultimate sacrifice on the cross so that we may have life, he did the sacrifice so that we may have life abundantly, John 10:10. I mean, God gave his only son, not only so that we could live forever and be purified from sin, which I mean, he did, but also so that we could have a full, plentiful and abundant life. And I mean, a life filled with like joy, passion, hope, spirit, you know, excitement, curiosity, you know, the kind of, you know, Philippians 4, rejoicing in all that we do. And that kind of like, you know, curiosity a toddler has for everything. Oh, what's that, mommy? What's that? Like that kind of excitement the whole of our life. And I mean, it says, you know, Moses, I think it says in Deuteronomy, that until he was 120, his eyesight was clear and he was as strong as ever. Like he was filled with vigor and life until the very end. And I think that's what Jesus' sacrifice was about, was us having that life until the end, no matter our ages. And I think in lockdown, so I've been reading John Eldridge's All Things New, and it's an amazing book, and I'd 100% recommend people to read it. And I think he challenges the reader at the end of the book to ask God for your vision of what you are like in heaven, because obviously in heaven you are restored, and you are how God, you know, originally created you to be like, and how he intricately designed you to be. And so I asked God, I was like, God, who am I in heaven? Who is this perfect version of myself? And he just sent me this, I felt utter like exquisite joy and peace and happiness. And I was like, and God was like, Adia, this is what you are like in heaven, but you could be like this on earth as well. You have the capacity to also be like that on earth once you live through me. That sense of joy and kind of that feeling you get on a summer's day when the sun's on your face and you're just like, oh, this is beautiful. And you know, I think that kind of exquisite joy comes through Jesus. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we, when we live through him as Christians, he breathes this gift of life into us, and we have boundless life. But I think the issue is, and the kind of the crux of what I'm talking about today, is how do we hold on to that life in terms of in terms of turmoil and turbulence, like we're living through at the moment? It's almost a paradox, kind of like a logical contradiction, to have joy in a joyless situation, to have life in a lifeless, death kind of situation of death. And I think, so I've kind of got three pointers I'm going to work through, just kind of three kind of like musings and reflections on how we can live that life-filled life in a turbulent time, such as coronavirus and this pandemic we're in. So my first pointer is a conscious choice to trust in God. So I think I'm quite a joyful person. Like I feel like I really like living, as hopefully most people do. I mean, my parents, you know, might disagree, like on a Monday morning or something, but I would say I'm a lover of life. And but the beginning of lockdown, I was really challenged. I was like, God, how am I meant to like love life in such a dark situation when there's job losses, death, pestilence? I was like, how am I meant to have joy here? And I think this is an issue that a lot of people face and are still facing. And I had to make a conscious choice to trust in God, that all things work out for the best. And a result of that trust is that I really enjoyed lockdown. I really felt this new sense of peace and kind of excitement for what is to come in the future. And I had time to experience other sources of life and joy. Like I got to read poetry, I rediscovered literature, I found my love for 80s music. I've got a whole playlist now of 80s, and I wish I could go and live in the 80s and the 60s. I would, anyway, that's another topic. But like, I was filled with so much joy from things I couldn't normally experience because of like the hubbub of normal life. And yeah, so I came to this kind of conclusion that even in a situation when there is no joy and everything seems everything seems dark and hopeless, when we make that conscious choice to trust and to continue to live life through Jesus, and trust in the Lord and not rely on our own understanding, Proverbs 3, the life of Jesus is able to enter into this situation. You know, and Jeremiah echoes this. He says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord." It's this kind of like Jesus is the bread of life. And when you trust in him, that life enters. That bread of life becomes your sustenance, your nourishment. And that life-filled existence enters, even in times of darkness. You know, Jesus is the light of the world, as it says in John 8:12. And whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will experience the light of life. So accepting and trusting in Jesus's light shatters darkness, and joy and life replace it. And I just think, what? That is amazing. Just trusting in God as a light shatters darkness. And that's all we have to do. That is just phenomenal for me. And I think also trusting in his attributes. So, you know, 1 John 4, God is love. You know, trusting that God is love. He would never put you in a situation that you cannot handle. And I mean, there's been a lot of talk about the end times, all they're coming, you know, pestilence has been foreshadowed. And although that is like, you know, we're never going to know when the end times are coming. And I mean, the realism of it is it's going to be difficult. I mean, it's the end times. But I think the issue is not to fear and fret for the turbulence that's coming in those end times, but instead to trust in his fundamental attributes and characteristics of love, and to know that God will never put you in a situation that you cannot handle. So whilst fear and, like, you know, anxiety could come from the end times, I think it's important not to let that overwhelm you, but to trust in God. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, he will not allow you to be tested above, beyond your ability. And it's true, he's not going to put you in that situation that you cannot handle. He's put that intrinsic strength within you so that you can handle it. So there's no point fearing for the future, because God wouldn't have put you in the end times if he didn't think you could handle it. Okay, and my second pointer, conscious of time, is to have that gratefulness is the root of life. You know, gratefulness is the root, and it stems life. It's a catalyst for life. And I think despite turbulence of COVID, during Easter, and I think a lot of people did, like, I mean, Jamie spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, people experienced this deep sense of joy and peace and gratefulness in Easter, despite what was happening. And I shared, and I felt I'd never experienced Easter the way I did this Easter. I felt there were moments I felt like this is what heaven is going to be like. I literally felt like I was like, this is what heaven is going to be like. Surrounded by this turbulence, I was like, I can feel God's love in this presence. And that came from gratefulness. I was so grateful to be with my family. I was so grateful to be surrounded by nature. I was so grateful to still have food in my cupboard, that Jesus' life was able to enter. I mean, Psalms is consumed with this link between gratefulness and joy. Like Psalm 7, I've got it here. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing the praise of the Most High. This little link between gratefulness and then joy. I think gratefulness is indeed a catalyst for joy. You know, and I think, again, in the light of this talk about the end times, it's almost about being grateful. Say we do live through the end times. It's about being grateful that God chose you. He could have chosen anyone else, but he chose you to live through that time. You know, like Esther, you were born for a time like that. And I think that's an honor. If I've been chosen to live through the end times, then I'm like, wow, God has got a bigger plan for me than I have for myself. And I would feel honored to live through that time, because God trusts in me. God knows me better than I know myself. And I mean, obviously, it's difficult to have gratefulness in times of COVID, you know, death and, you know, hardship and economic loss. But I think it's not for our own strength, you know. I think our gratefulness doesn't come from within, it comes from God. We have to make that conscious choice to be grateful, but we're made in the image of God, so that gratefulness comes from him. And I think, you know, I can do all things with Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And I can do all things, including being grateful in times of turbulence, in order to bring life again into an existence. My third and final pointer is about, and it kind of links to what Rebecca spoke about contentment 2 weeks ago. And I think it's not to find joy from the material, but to find joy from the transcendental and the eternal God. Ecclesiastes 5:10, you know, he says, he who loves material will never be satisfied. He will never be satisfied. You know, the material world is constantly changing and evolving, and you cannot find an eternal sense of joy from the material, because it doesn't exist. You know, I could find joy for my poetry and my literature for a small amount of time, but ultimately what Wordsworth has got to say to me isn't going to last forever. Barrett Browning is not always going to speak to me. And I think it's, you know, only when you trust in God will that joy come in. I think one of my favorite verses from Isaiah, it says, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God is constant and will stand forever. And it's true, it will stand forever. And therefore my joy can come from that, because he will never change. He is immutable, he is eternal. And that joy comes from him because he's everlasting, and that stems from him. My joy will never falter. My life will never falter because he is eternal. And I mean, I think I was reading The Great Gatsby, which is, you know, one of the greatest novels of all time, in my opinion. And I think, you know, Fitzgerald's probably an atheist, but he alludes to this greater kind of issue with the human life. So the protagonist in the novel, Jay Gatz, you know, he finds his life, his purpose comes from this one material figure, Daisy Fay. You know, his whole life revolves around her, and he inevitably dies. Sorry if you haven't read the book, but that's what happens. He dies. And and I think Fitzgerald was alluding to a greater argument. So I mean, he could be critiquing the American dream. I'm sure he is, but I think it's also actually a bigger issue of, you can't find your life and joy from the material and from people, because people, they're fickle, we're so superficial, and we're just not anchors. Whereas God, this constant anchor, you know, Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the same as yesterday, as he is today, and as he will be in the future. And only can you find a life-filled existence from someone who is the same as he is yesterday, today, and in the future. So yeah, so in summary, to summarize, in order to get a life-filled existence, I think you first of all need to make that conscious choice to trust in his fundamental attributes, but also to trust in the light of the Lord. The second pointer would be gratefulness. I think gratefulness is this amazing ability God has given humans to have, and I'm so lucky that I can be grateful. And I challenge you to actually try and think of one thing you're grateful for every day, because then life will enter into any situation. And thirdly, it's about not finding your joy in the material, but from the eternal God. You know, like the wise man built his house upon the rock. Build your house, build your life and joy from this stable and sturdy foundation, which is God. And yeah, so my little challenges for the week. Think about those three pointers, but also ask God, what am I like in heaven? My mum has just come in, so yeah. What is God like in heaven? You know, is he, what is his vision for you in heaven? And yeah, I hope you have a good week. Happy Sunday.